Church podcast. This message is part of our series, Losing It. For more information about New Point or to get involved, visit newpoint.org/podcast.
Hello, New Point. I want to welcome you today. I got a question for all of us here. Have you ever had this thought? Maybe you've even said it. I'm about ready to lose it. I'm about ready to come unglued. It's about ready to hit the fan. I'm about ready to go crazy. Sure you have. You know why? Because we're human beings and we're emotional creatures. And we've had those thoughts. And I would probably say a large group of us, if not all of us, have said that. And yet what we find out is it doesn't serve us very well. It's not very productive. We might get what we want at that moment, but boy, do we ever pay a price in the long run. Because it's destructive. It's more harmful than it is helpful. Well, today we're kicking off a series called Losing It. And we're going to be looking at specific emotions and feelings that all of us deal with. And here's what happens, and here's why we're doing this series. Many times our feelings and our thoughts get intertwined together. And they really mess us up. Because we end up thinking that our feelings are facts. And that they're true. And that's not necessarily true. And what happens is, if we're not careful, sometimes we even refuse to acknowledge our emotions, especially the negative ones. And what happens is we numb them in many different ways. It could be through eating or alcohol or shopping. We numb them. And here's the problem with that, and this is why we're doing this series. When you numb your negative feelings, it keeps you from experiencing the positive feelings. When you numb anger and sadness, what you're ultimately doing is numbing joy and peace. And so we want to look at how you and I can be able to deal with these emotions, because God's created us to be emotional creatures. So today we're going to look at a very powerful emotion. It's called anger. Do you know that they have said that the average man loses his anger or loses his temper 6 times a week? Wow. The average woman loses her temper approximately 3 times a week. Women have a tendency to get angry more at people, and men have a tendency to get angry more at things. And single adults usually get twice as angry as a married person. I found that to be very interesting. Men are usually more physical in expressing their anger, and the place and where we express our anger the most is at home. It's usually not with strangers. It's usually with the people that we love. And so today we want to look at anger. You know why? I believe that we live in a culture of anger. I just believe that. I think that anger is everywhere. It's in the home. It's in the workplace. Guess what? It's in the church. It's everywhere. And what happens is it comes in many different forms. Sometimes it's that low burn, you know, cynicism or sarcasm that we have. Sarcasm is just a form of anger. Cynicism is just a form of anger. We feel that it's a little bit safer to express it in that way, though. And that's why it doesn't take much to set us off. Because we live in an environment of anger. You know, somebody pulls out in front of you. And it can be even in the church parking lot. And you know what? We're ticked. We're mad. We're angry. How dare they? Didn't they see me? What's going on here? And what happens is our emotional temperature just changes. It can be violent. It can be explosive. It can be yelling and screaming at people. It can be even darker than that, of where we injure ourselves because we're angry. We're angry at life. It can be words that we express that we should never, ever say to anyone. It can be shutting the door on humanity and life and people. You know, it kind of goes like this. I've been taken once before. I've been abused once before. I've been taken advantage of, and it'll never happen again. And so we go into this self-protection mode, and really, we're angry. And so it comes in many different forms, but it is a powerful, powerful emotion. And anger can be very, very confusing. And sometimes we're not for sure why we're angry or where it is coming from. And so we want to look at it today. And, you know, I was thinking about how do I go about this? And in the book of Proverbs, there's many, many proverbs about anger and the danger of it and how we should deal with it. And yet, as I was studying, I came across a passage in the book of James. And as I began to read this, it really spoke to me. Matter of fact, it convicted me. Matter of fact, it let me know that I'm more angry than what I want to admit. And it's an incredible passage. And it's there in your notes. And I want us to break it down today. Because you might find out some things that I have found out about anger. So let's look at it. Here's what he says. He asks a question. He says, what causes fights and quarrels among you? Wow. Pretty penetrating. You see, what he's doing here is he's asking a question. Because he knows that if you don't get the diagnosis right, you'll never get the cure right. And he does an unbelievable job in diagnosing the reason why we're angry. And he also gives us the cure for it. And it's just very, very huge here. He says, what causes fights and quarrels among you? Why do you live in such conflict? You see, we're not created to live in conflict. We're created to live in community. We're created to live in harmony. And he says, what causes the fights and quarrels among you? What makes you angry? He goes on. Look what he says. He asks another question. Don't they come from the people you live with? I wish that's what it would say. Because that's where our mind goes, right? Why do I have fights and why do I quarrel? Well, it's the people that I live with. It's my wife. It's my husband. It's my children. It's my kids. It's my coworkers. It's the people that I work with. But that's not what Paul says. He doesn't say, don't they come from those people you live with? Here's what he says. He says, what causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires? Your desires that battle within you. He makes a connection. And here's the connection. The reason why we get angry is because of our desires. It's not the people in your life. It's not your wife. It's not your husband. It's not your boss. It's not your kids. He says it's your desires. You see, here's what I believe. I believe that we make about maybe 4 to 5 big decisions in life. And then we manage those decisions. And what happens is we have these desires within those big decisions. And it's really the mundane of life. We have these desires and we want them to come to fruition. And when they don't, they cause fights and quarrels among us. And that's why we're angry. Y'all okay? And so the reason why we struggle with anger is because our desires. Now, here's the question. Are desires wrong? No, they're not wrong. Desires are good. God created you and I to have desires. Is there anything wrong with the desire to want to be accepted? I don't think so. I think we all probably have a desire to want to be accepted. But what happens when that person doesn't accept you? What happens is your desire moves to expectation, and your expectation moves to demand. And now the acceptance of that person begins to rule your life. And because you can't get that acceptance, you get angry. You get mad. Is there anything wrong with the desire for comfort? I don't think so. I mean, I think that's probably all of our desires. But what happens is when somebody does not meet your desire that you think will bring you comfort, we get angry. We get mad. We get upset. And so James says here, let me diagnose the problem. Let me tell you why you have fights and why you have quarrels among yourself. Let me tell you why you're angry. It's not because of the outward circumstances. It's because of what's going on in your heart. You see, there's a battle going on. You want something and you're not getting it. And it makes you angry. He goes on to say this. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that what? Battle within you? What's a battle? A battle is a war. What's the objective in a war? To win. And so what happens is you have these desires and you have to win. And if you don't win, you're angry, you're mad. He says you desire but do not have, so you kill. Kill somebody's reputation. You try to kill their character. You covet, but you cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and fight. Okay, you're not going to let me have what I want, then I'm going to make life hell for you. I'm going to come against you. We're going to have conflict. And if I have to, I'll wear you out. He goes on to say this. You do not have because you do not ask God. Oh, wow. Here's the connection. You see, he's connecting your desire and my desire with our anger. And he says the problem is you want self-sovereignty. You want to be large and in control. And when you're not large and in control, we get angry because we don't get what we want all the time. And he says the reason why is you don't ask God. Why don't you ask God? He says, but when you ask, you do not receive because you ask with what? Wrong motives. My motive is wrong in why I want what I want. That you may what? Spend what you get on your pleasure. And so James here gives us the diagnosis of why we're angry. And I had to come back and I had to look at my own life and ask some questions. Dwight, what do you desire? And what aren't you getting that you desire? And how is that affecting your anger level in your life? You see, listen. No one is more influential in your life than you. Nobody influences you more than you. and you talk to yourself, and I talk to myself, and we can justify our anger. We can justify why we're doing this and why we're doing that. But James cuts to the chase, and he says, no, let me tell you why you're doing what you're doing. You have a desire, and it's not getting met, and you're angry about it. And yet what we have to do is we have to come back and realize who we're living with, right? You see, the biblical view of relationships is this. I'm a flawed person living with and among flawed people, but I have a faithful God. Did you get that? That's the biblical view of relationships. We're flawed people in relationship with other people who are flawed in a fallen world, but with a faithful God. With a faithful God. And so James is saying, you know what? You have not because you don't ask God. God's faithful. God will give you and God will give me what we need. Question is, do we trust him? And so in light of the fact that my desires and your desires is connected to our anger, how do we deal with our anger? Because it's a powerful emotion. Now, desires are not bad. He doesn't say here, because of your evil desires, you can be desiring something good. But the fact that you don't get it angers you. And it begins to affect all of your relationships with your spouse, with your kids, with your friends, with those around you. So how do we deal with our anger? Let me share a couple of things that might be helpful. First one is this. I need to understand why I get angry. I have to come back and understand why I get angry. Why do I get angry? Well, it's because of my desires. And I need to acknowledge the moment when this powerful emotion begins to rise up inside of me. I shouldn't deny it. I shouldn't discount it. I shouldn't shrug it off. You don't have to think that you're a terrible person. Anger is a legitimate emotion. Scripture says, in your anger, do not sin. And so you're not a bad person because you get angry. We just simply have to acknowledge it and understand it. Here's what Proverbs would say. A man's wisdom gives him what? Patience. So when I begin to understand why I'm angry, it'll give me patience in dealing with situations. You know what? I'm a flawed person. I live among people who are flawed. And you know what? I'm going to try to understand this. And so he says, a man's wisdom gives him patience. And so the better I understand myself, the better I understand my spouse, the better I understand my kids, the better I understand my friends, the better I understand the people that I work with, the easier it's going to be for me to be able to handle my anger in a positive way. You see, anger is a warning light for all of us. And really, it lets us know that what you and I are angry about is not our real problem. Anger lets us know that there's something much deeper going on inside of us. And that's why we have to understand it. We have to come back and say, okay, why am I angry? You know, it may be because I'm hurt. I'm hurt that you did not fulfill my desires. I'm hurt that you did not give me what I wanted. I'm hurt. I was reading some stats on divorce, and listen to this. 1 out of 3 people after 10 years still feel intense feeling of anger towards their ex. Wow, 1 out of 3. Maybe that's why second marriages don't work very well. Because we come into this new relationship and we're still angry about our desires not getting met in the last relationship. And it's old anger. Another cause might be frustration. When things don't seem to work or go your way or the way in which you desire, you know, Murphy Law is in effect. You get frustrated. We get angry. And so it might be, you know what? Maybe I'm hurt. Maybe I'm frustrated. Maybe I'm insecure. Because we feel angry when we feel threatened that something might be taken away from us or we're afraid. But here's what we have to understand. And here's the fact. Anger is a choice. You choose to get angry. I choose to get angry. I have to acknowledge that. I have to take on that responsibility. And sometimes, let's be honest, doesn't it feel good to get angry? Just good and angry and just let her rip. Just lose it. Let it hit the fan. It feels good to verbally just express. But the fact of the matter, what happens is the damage that it does is not good. See, anger is a choice, and let me prove it to you. Have you ever been in an argument or a fight with your spouse or one of your kids and the phone rings? Hello, Masons. How you doing? Good. Good. What's up? And what happens is you willfully chose to respond in a different way to the person on the other end of the phone. Y'all okay? See, anger's a choice. Or maybe you've been in the store and maybe your son or daughter acts up and you're just ready to jerk a knot in their tail. I mean, you're ready to let loose, okay? Come unglued. And you're just ready to do it, and out of the corner of your eye, you see somebody that you know. Maybe somebody from New Point. And so you just back her down. And so you say something like this, wait till you get home. And so what happens is you're choosing not to get angry at that moment and express it. And you say, you know what, I'll let it loose when I get home. And so we have to understand why we get angry. That's huge. And we all do. We all do. And it doesn't make you a bad person. It doesn't make me a bad person. We just have to acknowledge it. Here's the second thing, and that is this. We need to look to God and not to others for my self-worth. Now, I know you're going to say, oh, come on, Dwight. Really? Really? Absolutely. You have to look to God and not for others for your self-worth. I mean, what did James tell us? You have not because you what? Ask not. And many times, we're looking to people to give us things that God says, I want to give you. And when we look to people for our self-worth, maybe for acceptance or maybe for approval, and they don't give it to us, we get angry, we get mad. And so we have to look to God. Here's what Jesus said. He said, seek the kingdom of God, or look to God, above what? All else. And live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. Do you believe that? I mean, especially if you're a Christ follower here today. Do you believe that God will give you everything that you need? I promise you, when you believe that, your anger level will drop tremendously. Because the reason why we get angry is because we feel that somebody owes us something. We have a desire. We have an expectation. And you're not delivering. And you're going to pay for it. And yet what Jesus would say is if we would seek God, if we would live righteously, and what does that mean? That we would have a right view of God, and that we would have a right view of ourselves. And what's the right view of those who are forgiven in Christ Jesus? I'm accepted. I'm significant. I'm secure. All of my needs are going to be met. And so we need to be able to look to God and to be able to say, you know what, I'm going to find my significance. I'm going to find my acceptance. I'm going to find my worth in you. Because here's what happens. If we're not careful, we find our worth and our significance in positions, in possessions. And when we desire those and we don't get those, we get angry. You see, a sense of self-worth is essential if you're going to control your anger. Insecure people get angry very, very easy. Secure people, not as easily angered. You see, what happens is when you understand who you are and you're looking to God, then the frustrations, the hurts, the disappointments, they're still there. You still have to work through them, but they don't have the impact on you. Because you know what? You're believing that God will give you everything that you need. And so you look to God, not to others, if you're going to deal with your anger. Let's move on to the third one, and that is this. We need to stop, we need to pray, and we need to think before responding. I mean, all of us would probably agree with that. Ben Franklin said it this way. He said, count to 10 before you say anything. Count to 10. What he is saying is, stop. Pray and think. You see, have you noticed that sometimes our mouth runs faster than our mind? And what I'm saying here is this, we need to put our mind in gear before we put our mouth in gear. I mean, anybody here ever regretted saying something? I have. Got mad, got angry. I lost it. I came unglued. And I said something, and I thought, oh, I wish I could bring that back. But I can't. And so the key is to stop, to pray, get God involved, and to think. Here's what Proverbs would say. Proverbs would say, a fool vents all of his feelings, but a wise man holds them back. Listen to me. Whenever you hear somebody say, well, I just got to get a few things off my chest, you're about ready to see a fool in action. Because he says a fool vents all of his feelings. A fool just lets it hit the fan. But he says, a wise man, what? Holds them back. How do you hold it back? You stop. And you pray. And you think. And in those times, you ask yourself some questions. You say, why am I angry? What is really the root of the reason of why I'm angry? What do I really want? What do I really want? Is it really this that I want, or is it something else? I want their acceptance, or I want their approval, or I want their affirmation. But I think if I get this, I'll get that from everyone. And maybe you don't even know what you want, because I believe there's times that we're angry and we don't even know what we want. We just don't like what we're getting. And then we need to ask, how can I best get it? Because here's what I promise you. Sarcasm, cynicism, and anger will not get you what you want. Not over the long haul. It just won't. And so I need to understand my anger. I need to be able to realize that. I need to look to God and not to others for my self-worth. I need to stop, and I need to pray, and I need to think about what's going on. What's my desire? And am I going at it the right way? And then number four is this. I need to remind myself that God is in control. What did James say? You have not because you've not asked God. God's ultimately the one. He's ultimately the one. In 2 Chronicles, there's a verse, and it's about a king named Jehoshaphat. And Jehoshaphat is in the middle of a battle, a war, if you will. And there's about four or five countries that want certain pieces of land. And they're coming up against him. And he prays this prayer. He says, Lord, the God of our ancestors, are you not the God who is in heaven? You rule over all kingdoms of the nation. Check this out. Power and might are in your hand, and no one can withstand you. You know what he's saying? God, you are in control. He's reminding himself, you know what? The odds are stacked against me. There's five other kings that's coming against me. But I'm reminding myself, God, of who you are, that power and might are in your hand, and that nobody can stand against you. And I'm going to trust you. And that's what we need to do. We need to come back and remind ourselves, hey, you know what? God, you're in control. And yes, I have this desire, and I'm going to ask you for it, and I'm going to pray for it. But I'm going to trust you in fulfilling this desire, in making this happen, in making this come to pass, because no one can withstand you. You're God. And what you'll find out is that it gives you the ability to be able to handle this powerful emotion called anger in a way that is helpful and not harmful. Let me give you this last one. How do we deal with anger? You got to forgive. We have to forgive. And this is huge. And here's what I believe. I believe that anger can start in the heart of a person at a very, very young age. I believe that you can grow up in a family and not experience the security that you need and not have those survival needs that a child needs met in your life. And so what happens is you realize that you didn't grow up in a secure environment and that you had needs that were survival needs of love and acceptance and care, and they weren't met, at least not in the way in which a child needs for them to be met. And so you know what happens? You bring that old age anger into every other relationship in your life. And so you know what? I'm going to fight for me. If nobody's going to fight for me, I'm going to fight for me. I'm going to go to war. And I'm going to get what I desire. And I'm going to get what I deserve. And what happens is you need to forgive that person. It might be your mom. It might be your dad. It might be a former boss. It might be a former teacher. It might be a former coach. It could be a former spouse, but they didn't give you what you felt you desired and needed. And what happens is you bring that into every relationship. And you need to forgive, because it's not helping you, it's harming you. You see, I believe today there's three types of people. You know you should forgive, but you just don't have the courage. Another one is you know that you should forgive, but you feel that if you forgive, you're letting that person off the hook. And others, you have tried to forgive, but the fact of the matter is you've just gone through the motions. And you have to forgive. And you say, Dwight, how do I forgive and get rid of this? Here's what Paul says. Paul says, get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. He covers every negative emotion that you and I ever experience. All form of malice. And you know what he says? Get rid of it. That's a command. So it's something that I can do, and it's something that you can do. He goes on to say this. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other. He says, get rid of the bitterness and choose to be kind and compassionate. And how do you know that you've gotten rid of your bitterness and your malice? You're kind. You're compassionate. And he says here, forgiving each other. And you know what? He tells us how we should forgive. He goes on to say this, just as in Christ, God forgave you. God forgave me. How should I forgive my ex? How should I forgive my father? How should I forgive my mother? How should I forgive that boss? How should I forgive that person? The same way in which God forgives you and me freely. You see, forgiveness is a decision to cancel a debt. That's what it is. It's a decision to cancel the debt. And today I would invite you to do that. Anger is a powerful emotion. And the reason why we're angry is because we have these desires. And when they don't get met, we get angry. And when we get angry, by and large, it does more harm than good in our relationships. Let's pray. God, we thank you today for your love for us. And I pray that you would help us to understand why and when we get angry. I pray that you would replace our hurt with your love. I pray that you would replace our frustration with your peace. I pray that you would replace our security or insecurities with your power. I pray, God, that you would help me not to look to other people for my self-worth. I pray that you would help me to remember that you're in control and that you'll give me everything that I need. And I pray, God, today that you would help us to harness this powerful emotion called anger in a way that helps us and doesn't harm us. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you want to talk to someone about a decision you've made or let us know how God's moving through this series, visit newpoint.org/podcast. Be sure to stay connected with us throughout the week on social media, and don't forget to subscribe through iTunes. Thanks for listening to today's message, and we hope you continue to realize and reach your full potential in Jesus Christ.